This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And today, another campaign interview. We're talking with U.S. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat representing Oregon for many years, running for re-election. Senator, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me back, Kyle.
And let's talk about overall, how do you feel the work you're trying to do in the Senate? How are things going this year?
I believe we were able to make a real difference in some key areas. For example, a couple that relate directly to Douglas County, we've been able to get firefighter pay up. I think we know that these fires are not your grandfather's fires. They're bigger, they're hotter, they're more powerful. We used to kind of call it fire season. Now it's fires all year round, and we're going to really need to have additional resources to get more people in the field, more firefighters. When I make my town hall swings around rural Oregon, I always see signs that say help wanted, and they sometimes pay more than firefighters get. So I'm focused on that, and you know, I'm also focused on trying to incorporate more good science into the challenge in natural resources. For example, along with Joe Manchin, I've been the champion of prescribed burns, where you go in during the cooler weather months under very carefully controlled circumstances and have prescribed burns to try to reduce the forest load in the hot weather. And I think those are two kind of examples of what we're finally making some real headway on in this Congress. We got additional help for prescribed burns, additional help for firefighters, a lot more to do.
You know, a lot of things to cover in a short amount of time. Local veterans groups expressing increasing concern about the VA in Roseburg, how it's being operated. They feel like there's a continued reduction in services. Our county commissioners even yesterday formally weighed in, issuing a proclamation calling for services to be restored. A lot of veterans in Douglas County. What's your take on the overall VA operation and what you know about what's happening in Roseburg?
Well, I'm very concerned about what I hear with respect to Douglas County and Roseburg. Douglas County does a lot of things well, but one of the things it does best is it stands up for vets, and those services are essential. And, you know, we were actually able to check the bureaucracy as it relates to veterans in eastern Oregon, where they were going to move services further away. And I'm going to be talking fairly shortly with the new regional director, and I can tell you the Roseburg situation is going to be at the top of my list. And on my watch, veterans are going to get the best possible shake, and that's not what I'm hearing.
And a lot of veterans are talking about things they normally could get in Roseburg being sent to Eugene or other locations. Obviously, for a lot of veterans at an older age, that can be a big issue.
It surely is, and that's exactly what I was able recently to stop in eastern Oregon, where the Veterans Administration folks were getting ready to send people further away. I understand that's what's going on in Douglas County, and I'm going to step in, and we're going to make sure that services are accessible to veterans. We don't have older people trying to travel icy roads as we get towards cold weather.
What about even a formal investigation into the VA and what has been going on in this region? Are we at that level?
We're going to take whatever steps are necessary to protect the vets. I'm going to give the new regional director an opportunity to describe what they're going to do, but certainly I'm not ruling out anything. The only thing I'm ruling in is we're going to stay at it until vets get what they deserve.
Well, we'll continue to follow along on the situation. Other things on this side of the pandemic, mental health, boy, that is getting a lot of attention. What have you been doing to help people with, you know, in various sectors of life needing more assistance with mental health?
In every corner of our state, Kyle, mental health has really become a crisis. This is very personal to me. My brother was schizophrenic. Every night for years on end, we would go to bed worried that he was going to hurt himself or somebody else. And we had huge mental health needs before the pandemic, and they have only grown since. Now, in the gun safety legislation, Senator Mike Crapo, Republican of Idaho, and I, we were able to get a number of the provisions we authored into that bill because there was interest in mental health. We got additional mental health assistance for the schools. We got additional telemedicine services, which is important to run the hotlines, particularly the ones that are focused on anti-suicide policies, and also help for behavioral health. Now, there are a number of steps coming up that I think are going to make a big difference. Connie and Steve Ballmer have funded a program at the U of O to make sure we have more graduates in behavioral health. I'm going to try to get that into the Medicaid program, and I was able in the spring of 2021 to get $1 billion for programs that involve mental health specialists and law enforcement dealing with challenges on the streets, and I know there's a lot of interest in that program in Douglas County as well.
And in this area, police agencies have been working with ADAPT, one of the local providers, to have mental health professionals out offering mobile crisis services. Seems like there's more interest. Do you feel like this should get even more attention at the federal level? And how do you assure that it continues to be funded?
What I've heard about the Douglas County program very much tracks what we were able to get the billion dollars for in CAHOOTS. And part of CAHOOTS is to try to expand into sites that are just getting started in Oregon or would like to expand. And so we're definitely going to be following up with Douglas County folks, because I think what they're talking about is exactly what CAHOOTS has in mind, and hopefully we can secure funding for them soon.
And I know that while there is more training offered to law enforcement officers now regarding mental health than there was way back, police have told me on the air and off the air that there's certain things that they're just not trained for at the same level of these folks, in our case, from ADAPT and having that knowledge and that background.
What my legislation was all about, and it's the first federal bill to provide funds to local communities and counties like Douglas, and Douglas can certainly be part of this, is to recognize, along the lines of what you're hearing, a lot of law enforcement folks are concerned that they're being asked to do what they haven't been trained to do, and the same goes for mental health people. And so what we want to do is make sure that as these calls for assistance, you know, come in, they're better positioned to work together. That's what's gone on in Eugene for some time through the CAHOOTS program. That's why my federal law is called CAHOOTS, and $1 billion as part of the legislation that I wrote is going to be available, and we're going to be following up with Douglas County so that they can have every opportunity to get assistance.
The economy, inflation, big concerns, even some new numbers out today in regards to that. A lot of people skittish. What do you feel like Congress has done to help this year?
The focus of Congress has got to be on cutting costs. For example, I'm the lead architect in the Medicare law that just passed that finally lets Medicare negotiate to hold down the cost of medicine. I think we all know in Douglas County and elsewhere, people are just getting mugged when they go to the pharmacy counter. And when people say, oh, is anything happening soon? The first part of my law actually went into effect a few days ago. Starting on October 1st, if the big pharma companies are charging more than inflation, they are going to have to pay a penalty to Medicare. So this is the first time, Kyle, Medicare that began in 1965 is actually going to have consequences for big pharma price gouging. So next year we'll start the negotiation on the expensive drugs, cancer drugs, arthritis drugs, but right up at the top of cutting costs, based on all of my town hall meetings around the state, healthcare costs are what really concern people.
Talk more about that Inflation Reduction Act. There was a lot of interest in that. Not everybody liked it, but what were your thoughts?
My thoughts were that because there had been no consequences for price gouging, it was important that this law actually put something in with teeth quickly. Now, the penalties for price gouging actually came from the bipartisan bill that I originally had with Charles Grassley, Republican senator from Iowa. And when you're talking about drugs, for example, like insulin, which is so important to thousands of Oregonians who have diabetes, I mean, the insulin we've got today isn't very different than the insulin we had decades ago. The only real difference is the price. And now there are going to be some consequences for price gouging.
All right, we're going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when U.S. Senator Ron Wyden running for re-election. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. It's 1246. This is News Radio, 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Shannon Sebastian has your cue, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, a very unique special program. Jim Bohannon retiring effective Friday as a national talk show host due to health issues that he is facing. And we've got a special interview captured just a few days ago with Jim Bohannon. Michael Harrison of Talkers Magazine did that. He's given us permission to air a segment of it tomorrow. And so a special tribute and information about Jim Bohannon, what's going on with him right now on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. A lot of people talking about that after his 30 years on nighttime radio around the U.S. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden with us right now, running for re-election. And one of the things, Senator, I've noticed over the years, you've had a particular interest in the area of privacy in terms of data, online concerns, things like that. And I know that that has been one that you particularly followed.
Yes, it's hugely important, Kyle, because back when I got started and limited internet taxes and protected people's most personal information, there were things that technology just couldn't do. Now technology can practically accomplish anything in terms of getting into your private life. So I've got some key bills, the Mind Your Own Business Act that restricts access to your private information, which is so important because we've got these data brokers who are buying up the information of residents of Douglas County and everywhere else without impunity. And I've got an important bill called the Fourth Amendment is Not for Sale, which also would require that you get a warrant before you go and start scooping up people's private information. And I know that because I'm on the Intelligence Committee, there are some things I can't say on the air, but in an open session, some of the most influential people in technology said that these privacy issues are now a national security issue because this is how you compromise people and our country's well-being.
You have worked in the area of the federal timber issues, been tied to a lot of things there. One of the things that foresters notice around Douglas County, a lot of the federal land here hasn't really been cleared after the Archie Creek fire. There's a lot of concern there because a lot of the private land has been cleared. What are your thoughts about that? What should be different about federal timber management?
Well, first of all, I mentioned prescribed burns. I mentioned the question of professionalizing more people in the fire area. And we're going to have an opportunity in Douglas County to do some additional work. As you know, I wrote the Secure Rural Schools Bill, which has brought Oregon more than $3.5 billion. Douglas County has been one of the counties that gets an extensive amount of that money. And now Senator Crapo and I are trying to get the counties off the roller coaster for the long term. So as part of the Recovery Act in the spring of 2021, I was able to get investments for rural counties, and Douglas County over the next couple of years is going to get $10.6 million to address various issues relating to forestry and infrastructure and the like. And, you know, my view is that what we need to do is practice multiple use. There's a way to promote sound forestry and do it within the environmental laws, and whether it's on the issue you're discussing with respect to a fire or anything else, there's a way to find common ground. That's what I did years ago with Secure Rural Schools. It's brought Oregon more than $3.5 billion, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. Also, we have another opportunity with them, and it's really a massive opportunity with mass timber. Yesterday, we were talking in the Portland area about the new effort to promote mass timber. We've got a big housing shortage. This is an area to increase housing supply.
And a lot of the forest managers around the area have wondered if one of the reasons we're not seeing bigger fires is because so many areas have not been cleared after previous fires, making the next one just that much worse.
Well, there's no question that if you have $1 in the forestry, you know, area, you want to put it in prevention, but you also need to have the money to put fires out. So that's why I favor a multiple-use approach and always will.
You have had a long career. I'm curious what caused you to run again at a time when, frankly, many people your age are ready to retire or pull back or sit on the beach with a drink with an umbrella.
Well, what I think is we just got an enormous amount of work to do in our state. You know, we did essentially a lot of legislating in just the last few months. I mentioned my bill to hold down the cost of prescription drugs. We got help for manufacturing, particularly in an area that's important to Oregon, where we get jobs across the state for semiconductors. We have huge needs in the energy area. We need to make, for example, our energy systems more resilient to fire. So you take those kinds of issues. You mentioned privacy. I mentioned housing. I mentioned, you know, mental health. I mean, there's a lot to do, and I feel I've had an extraordinary opportunity, particularly the last few years as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, the most sought-after committee with respect to the major economic issues, and I remain senior on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, where I can work on those fire issues and thinning out these overstock stands, preventing fires, and getting more resources to those on the ground in Oregon.
I imagine as a Democrat, you're a little concerned about the midterm elections and the potential for the GOP to perhaps capture the Senate. That would shift your role and some of the things you could do a bit, correct?
Well, in the Senate, you always have to try to find a way to get 100 votes, no matter who's in charge. But the reality is, Kyle, and people are asking me about it this time of year, especially, the best politics is good policy. And if you're doing the kinds of things I'm talking about, which is helping us get more firefighters and increasing pay and smart science with prescribed burns and increasing housing, as I've done with the low-income housing tax credit and now with mass timber, the best politics is good policy, and that's what I'm going to pursue.
One of the things I wanted to ask about as well, we're, you know, continuing to watch this situation with Ukraine and Russia. You talked about working in the Intelligence Committee. What are some of your concerns there?
My concern, of course, is Putin is KGB. I can't get into classified kind of matters. This has not gone well for him. This is not what he expected. He thought that he was going to kind of waltz into Ukraine and everybody wave some Russian flags, and that would be that. He is increasingly desperate. You see his statements with respect to even considering nuclear weapons, tactical nuclear weapons, this kind of thing. One of the things that I think has been best about how this has been handled is we've gotten a lot of allies on our side who haven't been with us on most things. You look at Switzerland, for example, that's been neutral for, you know, decades and decades and decades now, part of this effort. So I think our policy thus far, I'm not for putting troops on the ground in Ukraine, our policy thus far has been by and large correct.
Do you feel like we're keeping adequate track of the money that we've given to Ukraine and where it's going?
There's a lot more oversight that's needed, but I and others, because I sit on the Senate Budget Committee, have been focused on that as well. Part of the benefit from all of this is having more allies on our side. We have people who can step up and address some of those areas where otherwise it would be only U.S. money.
If you're reelected, what's your focus going to be in the next year?
I certainly think right up at the top that we just talked about over the last half an hour would be natural resources, mental health, housing, and particularly job creation.
And will it be likely that any committee assignments would shift?
I'm on the three best committees for Oregon right now. I'm chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. I'm a senior member of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. And I sit on the Intelligence Committee, which is central to the kind of questions we're talking about with respect to Russia and Ukraine.
So you feel like you've got a really good kind of selection of committees there?
I do, and what I've tried to say is that we're going to keep building on some changes that I think have really been helpful. I was the first elected official to agree to have an open-to-all town hall meeting in every county in Oregon. I'm now at 1,027 just a few days ago. I was in Lalawa where they were dealing with, you know, hail coming through the house, and they hadn't seen a federal official. So what I try to do is be hands-on at home and listen and then go back to Washington and get results.
U.S. Senator Ron Wyden out of time. Thanks for being on today.
Let's do it again, Kyle. Thanks.
1258 Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.